So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
The Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantes. Brian Noonan in for Ro and Anna today. They will be back tomorrow. All right, we've been talking a lot of Blackhawks hockey this afternoon because, as you know, it is Game 3 tonight in Nashville against the Predators, the Bridgestone Arena, where they try to keep Blackhawks fans out. I don't know why they're scared, but we will find out. The pregame starts at 8 o'clock, and then John and Troy have all the action at 8:30. So we wanted to get beyond the X's and O's because we've been taught. We talked to Jamal Mayers today. We talked to Brent Sopel. We were getting, you know, the hockey stuff. But I wanted to get kind of the vibe of the Nashville fan and the vibe of the city, what's going on down there. And again, why are they so afraid of Blackhawks fans? But we'll get to all of that. When you think of Nashville, of course, besides the Predators, you think of country music, and 650 AM WSM is one of the most famous country stations in all the world. And the co-host and producer of Coffee, Country, and Cody is joining us now. Charlie Matos is with us. Charlie, I appreciate you taking some time. How are you?
Brian, doing well. Yourself?
I am fantastic. Thanks. Now, I joked in your introduction, but I'm not really joking. It seems, and this has been culminating for the last few years, for some reason, the Predators and Nashville, I'm going to lump the whole city in on this, seems a little bit afraid of Blackhawks fans. What's the deal? What are you guys so afraid of us for?
Well, I'd say we had a past history with Red Wings fans until they shipped them out of our division. So if you go back to the first 5-6 years of the franchise, anytime Detroit would come to town, I mean, it would probably be a 50-50 crowd. And you know, we had Nissan down here, we had Saturn down here, we had so many people displaced from Michigan to here. It kind of made sense.
Okay,
but there was a 2 or 3 year stretch where. Yeah, if you went to a Preds Blackhawks game at Bridgestone Arena downtown, I mean, you know, conservatively 3,000 or 4,000 Blackhawks fans, maybe more. I mean, it's kind of hard to guess a percentage, but yeah, it was to the point where they took a few measures a couple of years ago to make it a little more difficult for anyone out of a certain zip code or area code to purchase a ticket. Now, you know, I mean, StubHub and 5,000 other, you know, licensed resellers. I mean, you can get anywhere you want, depending on how much you want to spend for it.
But, exactly. And Nashville's a nice town. You can't blame us for wanting to come down there. It's a nice city.
Goodness.
There's a lot to do, and Blackhawks fans travel well.
Yeah, big time, for sure. Now, I will say this. I think whatever they've done has worked. You know, if you go back a few years ago, you know, they'd sell out maybe 15, 20 games. And 2 years ago, it was 30 something. And last year it was 37. And this year, for the first time in the franchise history, it's been all 41, you know, to the original six. Selling out every game is not such a big deal. It's almost a foregone conclusion, you know, but
yeah.
I grew up 40 minutes from Boston. So, I'm kind of
used to that kind of thing.
I'm also used to the 8 seed beating the 1 seed. I watched the Celtics game last night. So in a way, I kind of feel your pain a little bit. So, but it should be a terrific atmosphere. We're actually under a flash flood watch for about another 45 minutes.
Is that right?
So there's a ton of rain in the downtown area, but it's supposed to kind of blow out by 7:30, 8 o'clock or so. So I think that last half hour before a face-off, it should be quite festive in the area around Bridgestone Arena.
Now, I know Blackhawks fans are anxious, as you can imagine. The other day, the front page of the Nashville paper had Predators meet prey, the saber-tooth mouth with the feathers coming out of it. Are Predators fans overly confident now? Are they cocky? Are they cautiously optimistic? What's the vibe of the fan down there?
Yeah, I saw the graphic you're talking about, and I flashed back instantly to somebody, one of our Titans players, stomping on a Pittsburgh Steeler terrible towel, and we haven't, I don't think we've been in a playoff game since then, never mind won a playoff game since then. So, yeah, you know, I mean, the time to get cocky is when it's 4-0, you know, or 4-2. You guys win tonight, it's 2-1, and then the pressure's on us with game 4, and then, you know, so I mean, listen, it would be hard to say everybody is not very excited. I've got a soon to be four-year-old. So my hockey viewing has been catching the late second into the third periods of these games. And every time I've popped it on, I've been surprised. A little surprised it was 1-0 late in game one. Shocked when I popped it on, it was 3-0 in game two. You know, the 5-0 was kind of an aberration. Once it gets to 3-0, you know, the 4 and the 5 really didn't matter. But no, I think we're pretty excited. And objectively, I've been in a lot of arenas and a lot of places to see games. It's a really good home ice advantage. It's really loud, almost kind of college atmosphere loud, as opposed to sometimes the sedateness of and the sterileness of a pro building. It's got some passion to it. I was at a playoff game maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and I think it was a Red Wings game. Matter of fact, I think it was 2012 when they finally won that series, and there was a timeout late in the third period, and instinctively everybody just applauded, and the ovation got louder and louder for the 3.5 minutes of the television break, and it was almost like goosebump chilling. I mean, I'd never seen anything quite that spontaneous in a building, and it wasn't like the Jumbotron was telling you to make noise. It just kind of happened. So it's a pretty cool place to see a game, and I think it's going to be a really fun atmosphere tonight.
Charlie, everyone hates the team that wins all the time, and well, the Blackhawks have done nothing really but win over the past 6, 7, 8 years. And normally, if let's just say, for example, in baseball, most baseball fans, if you hate the Yankees because they win, and you normally hate the fans that go along with them. You could be honest with us, Charlie. Do Predator fans hate Blackhawk fans?
Well, it's why everybody was so happy for the Cubs last year, right? So you can't, it comes and goes, right? You give it and you got to take it too sometimes too. But you know, there wasn't quite as much passion with the Red Wings this year when they're next to last in the East, right?
So, not at all.
I've always viewed, I'm a Miami Hurricane alum, and back when we didn't have to call ourselves the U because we just were really good and beat you and everybody hated you, but right. Nobody hates you when you're terrible. They right. only hate you when you're really, really good. So, you know, I think the paranoia maybe a little bit and the angst the joy if we do win this series is only because you guys are so good.
Is everyone dreading Hawks fans just making the trek into your town and the sea of red pouring
drinking up
Broadway
all the beer like we used to do, you know,
bars? Is everyone dreading that?
No, not the people who own those staff.
Right. I was going to say, they got to be really happy when they're run out of beer because that means they made a lot of money.
Oh, indeed, yeah. So now, listen... you know, the place holds 17,000. If it's 17,000 people only rooting for you, I mean, that's fine. But I kind of like the give and take. You know, I love nothing more than if the guy next to me is actually rooting for the opposition. I've had some of the best conversations ever at a sporting event with fans. And your fans are passionate and they're good. So, I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Now, Charlie, you mentioned the atmosphere and kind of a collegiate thing. And I heard something the other day, and I forget which night they brought it up on the television, that early in the Predators' history, that the players, the star players, were buying up the season tickets and the suites because hockey wasn't really catching on. How long did it take for the fans to really embrace having an NHL team in Nashville?
Oh man, it took a while just to get a first playoff berth, and then to win a first playoff series was even a little longer than that. I mean, there's always been a kind of a hardcore following for it the hardcore fans who adapted to it right away because there's enough transplants here.
Sure.
But it probably took a decade for it to be the really hot building it is now, and it probably coincides with our football team plummeting in the other direction, you know.
and we know what that's about too, don't we, Kevin?
Ugly.
Well, and you know, Barry Trotz, people just loved him, you know, and you know, the job he did with that expansion franchise and for the decade plus he was here was pretty impressive. And I will say this, you know, it's the organization is really pretty classy on a lot of fronts. Now, granted, they're going to make financial decisions that scratch your head sometimes, and they're going to ship away guys you love, and you hate them for doing it. But, you know, when Trotsky came back with Washington for the first time, they had a really cool three-minute feature on him on the Jumbotron on the first TV timeout and a huge standing ovation. When Shea Weber came back for the first time after the trade, a very similar situation. When Thomas Fokun, even going back, you know, 7 or 8 years, left and came back with the Florida Panthers for the first time. So they're good at that kind of thing. They get the PR aspect of it. Maybe the music industry sort of helps that whole thing. Yeah. And of course, if you want to have Vince Gill sing your anthem, he's there almost every night anyway. So that's
not too shabby. So. Getting a little Vince Gill action
exactly.
there.
Yeah.
Charlie, where's the best place to eat down there for any Chicagoans heading down for a game?
Oh, wow. Let me think. Well, barbecue, there's a couple of good options right on Broadway. Jack's is pretty darn good, and it's about a block and a half from the arena. If you want to spend some money, the Southern on 3rd is the best bar in town. Best bourbon, best whiskey list in the downtown area. A little pricey for the food, but it's really, really good.
All right, because we're radio guys, I felt that we have to make some sort of stupid bet for the series. And despite the fact that the Hawks are down two games, I'm still willing to back the Blackhawks because I have that belief. Are you up for a stupid bet, Charlie?
What do you got in mind?
I don't know. The food thing's been kind of played out. Would you agree? You know,
I would agree.
Kevin and I were thinking about some Nashville hot chicken, spicy chicken, but that's not going to travel. And you know, you don't really want a frozen pizza from up here, do you? That's not
not particularly.
All right.
No.
So how about this? How about we do with something uniquely Chicago and uniquely Nashville? If the Predators win, I will send you a T-shirt from the Billy Goat Tavern, which is right underneath the studio that I'm in right now. And if the Blackhawks win, you send me a T-shirt from Tootsie's Orchid Lounge, one of my favorite bars in all of America.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some history in that place.
I love that place. You look at the walls, and those walls are lined with broken dreams.
You got it.
All right, so it's a bet. Kevin, you can you'll witness this bet. Charlie,
I'm marking the audio
as a brother in sound. I'm trusting that you will follow through on this.
Oh, Lise has my cell number, so trust
That's
me,
right.
She'll track me down.
And I will, and we will find out. We will get you. We'll get it all set up.
Hey, I will say this, by the way, as we wrap this up, I am a radio junkie. I fell in love with radio as a kid, scanning the old AM transistor when I'd go to bed and seeing what stations I can find. John and Troy are a really, really good broadcast team.
Thank you. They are a great team.
Hockey, and the Capitals guys are really good too, by the way, the Washington radio guys. But you guys are they're a terrific radio team. So.
Well, I'm sure they'd appreciate the compliment. And Charlie, I really appreciate the time. It was fun talking to you, getting us a little more knowledge about Nashville. Charlie Maddox is the co-host and producer of Coffee Country and Cody on WSM in Nashville, the preeminent country radio station in the world. I'm going out on a limb, but I'm gonna say it with conviction, Charlie. I think that's correct. Would you agree?
That's how we bill it. Yeah, we say the same thing. So yeah, no argument there.
Well, listen, there you go. It was great talking to you, and we'll be watching the series, and then I know I'll be watching the mail for that Tootsie's T-shirt. I can't wait. Take care, Charlie. Bye bye. All right, that was fun. Charlie Maddox, again, we thank him from WSM in Nashville. All right, one last time, we head upstairs to the tropical rainforest that is Traffic Central and get the traffic trouble spots with Violetta.